Production funding for Behind the Headlines is made possible in part by the WKNO Production Fund, the WKNO Endowment Fund, and by viewers like you. Thank you.
How Collierville and Arlington schools are operating during coronavirus. Tonight on Behind the Headlines. Barnes at the Daily Memphian. Thanks for joining us as we continue to do the show remotely. We are joined today by two superintendents. Last week, we had the superintendent of Shelby County Schools on, Dr. Joris Ray, and we'll get the other superintendents on over the coming weeks as obviously schools and how the schools are operating and the various different ways they're operating has been high on everyone's minds these days. Today, we have Gary Lilly, the superintendent of Collierville Schools. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Also, Jeff Mayo, superintendent of Arlington Community Schools. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me, Eric.
Along with Bill Dries, reporter with the Daily Memphian. I'm gonna start with Arlington. I guess I'll go alphabetically here. And just if you could give us a snapshot of what a day in the life is like within the schools. And there's a lot going on, obviously, but for staff, for students, and I think for both of you all, there's some differences in how you're operating at the lower end of the grades versus the higher ends. So, you know, you may need more than 30 seconds, and that's just fine. Arlington, for people not familiar, has about 4,800 students, two elementary schools, a middle school, and a high school. But Jeff, give us a snapshot of what's going on.
So initially, when we started planning for our reopen plan back in late May, obviously that was the concentration of our work throughout the summer. We landed on a plan that, for the most part, has worked out well for us considering the circumstances and the constraints that we're under. Both of our elementary schools are operating at by parent choice, student choice, at full capacity 5 days a week. Obviously, in that environment, we're having to limit the number of students in the classroom. And in that environment, with students who opted out to do full online education, which was an option for our parents and students, we were able to accommodate all of the students Monday through Friday, five full days in the classroom with 6 feet of social distancing and mask wearing in the classroom. So that has not created an issue for us at the elementary grades. In our middle school, we followed the same plan, but obviously those classes are larger due to the grade bands. And as a result of the number of students that came back to school versus the number that opted for online learning, we have had to create what we've called virtual hubs in our middle school. And what the virtual hubs are for is for students who, if we have an overcapacity of about 20 students in the classroom, typically those classrooms may consist of 25 up to 30 students in some cases. So approximately 5 or 6 students or so every class period have to rotate to a virtual hub so that we can continue to practice the correct social distancing in the classroom. That is not a perfect solution by no means, but it is much better than it was when we first started because obviously it was a new concept for our schools, for our middle school to operate under. At this point, we've not had to institute virtual hubs at our elementary school, but that may be something we have to do in the future, depending on the state of where things continue to head in the future. Our high school has operated on a hybrid model, meaning that students come to school 2 days a week, they learn remotely 2 days a week, and then all students learn virtually 1 day a week. We have made tweaks and changes to that model as well. Again, as I said earlier, none of these models are perfect and none of this has worked as well as normal school works. But for the most part, we have been willing to make changes as we've moved along. And I've been very pleased overall with the way we've been able to start school and keep school going with all of the safety measures that we've put into place. We have avoided a long-term shutdown, and I believe that is primarily due to the great work that our nurses, our staff members, our administrators are following those protocols you know, very diligently. And I attribute that to helping us keep our schools open at this point.
Are students masked at all grade levels?
We do require students to wear a mask at all times in all grade levels. Okay. Initially, we looked at having that mask, language in place for common areas. But before school started, looking at the state of affairs in our county, we did go ahead and make that a requirement before school started. And honestly, that has not been an issue at all. Our students have complied with that. We've not had any real incidents of noncompliance. And so I think the concern of what mask might create in the schools has really hasn't materialized for us at this point.
Let me go to you, Gary. You, Colleyville Schools is about 9,000 students. That's 6 elementary schools, 2 middle schools, and a high school. And I should clarify for people maybe don't follow this as much. You all are you are separate school districts, you know. So we're having you on at the same time, but I want to make that clear. So, Gary, again, day in the life, how does it look, and what sort of model or models are you taking in your school?
Sure. So we are actually more similar to our friends in Arlington than not. At the elementary level, we are also 5 days a week. We did have the option for families that wanted a virtual experience. They have that option, and because of the number of families that did choose the virtual option, we were able to bring all of our students who wanted the in-person experience back at the elementary level 5 days a week, again with the 6 feet of social distancing. However, our middle and high schools, because of the size and number of students and what have you, they are on a hybrid schedule. So we've got hybrid A, which is basically half the students who want the in-person experience. Half of those come on Monday and Tuesday, and hybrid B comes on Wednesday and Thursday, and then Friday is a remote day. And so that's when we go all virtual. Our experience has been pretty similar to what Mr. Mayo described, as far as the students are wearing masks all day at all grade levels, and they've really done a phenomenal job at it. We've been very proud of the students. It is a different situation than what you would consider a normal school year, but our teachers are just doing really going above and beyond. They're meeting the needs of our students. The students are doing great with the control measures to stay spaced and frequent hand washing and all those things that we know we've got to do. And so it's also we're making it work. It's not our preference. Our preference is a traditional school year and all the students in learning. But under the circumstances, it's going well.
And you, am I right? You did end up having to shut down, go hybrid. I shouldn't say shut down. That's not fair. Go in the in-person school at the high school for a couple of weeks, given an outbreak of some sort. Can you talk about that? And what do you think happened? And how did you adapt?
Sure. Yes, we did for 2 weeks at the high school. We had a few students who had tested positive in close proximity in a short amount of time. So my understanding is if you have two or more cases that do test positive in close proximity in a short amount of time, that's considered a cluster outbreak. With every case that tests positive, we always let our partners at the Shelby County Health Department know. So for a cluster outbreak, they take a look to see if there are other control measures that need to be put in place. So they recommended that we, they call it, and this is common verbiage from health departments and the Tennessee Department of Health, but exclude from school. We don't really like the word exclude, but the gist of it is you can't come to school, and then they quarantine. It is not our place to quarantine, but rather the Shelby County Health Department that does that. But we identified students who could not come to school based upon their recommendations. And based upon those recommendations, the number of students and staff, they did not make us close. But based on the number of people that were affected by the quarantine, it really made more sense to go ahead and close for 2 weeks. And now we've been back and very, very few number of cases.
Okay, let me bring in Bill Dries.
Just a clarification question. When you talk about virtual or online learning, are those students receiving instruction from the teacher who is in the classroom, or is there a separate teacher on that? Dr. Lilly, let's start with you on that.
Sure, so it kind of varies depending upon the level. So at our elementary and middle school level, we do have separate, they're all Collierville teachers, but we have separate teachers addressing the virtual students and those addressing the in-person students. At the high school level, it is the same classroom teacher that is addressing both the hybrid and the virtual students. And the reason we set it up that way is because we really wanted the breadth of classes to be available for those who chose the virtual option. And the only way to really make that happen was to have our regular classroom teachers do both. That is quite a challenge if you think about you've got half the in-person students in for 2 days and another 2 days, and then virtual kids as well. But our teachers are really going above and beyond. They're working really hard to address the needs of our students.
Mm-hmm. Jeff, how does that work on Arlington? Do you have two sets of teachers?
It's very similar to what Dr. Lilly described in Arlington. We too have dedicated virtual teachers that are at the elementary level for those students who opted for 100% virtual learning. Now, I will tell you that initially we started off having teachers do both at that grade level, and we realized very quickly that was not the best case scenario by talking with our teachers, getting feedback from our parents, our principals. So we quickly made a change and did some rearranging so that we too could have all virtual teachers for those learners at the elementary level who wanted what the 100% virtual learning option. At the middle school, it's very similar to the elementary. We do have dedicated online teachers. We do have some teachers at the middle school who may be doing both, but not at the same time. They may be meeting classes in person, teaching those students, and then they may have a couple of periods where they are teaching virtually, but only virtual at that time. And then the high school situation is very similar to what Dr. Lilly described. We have teachers that are doing both. It is very challenging, but as he pointed out, at the high school level, the courses are so much more course specific and very difficult to replicate that in an online environment or have the teacher that has the knowledge base to be able to teach that class. So we found that the best solution was to have those teachers at the high school level to do both. And as Dr. Lilly described, it's very overwhelming at times for the teachers, but at this point they seem to have pretty much found a balance with how to juggle those online students with those in-person students at the same time. So again, changes and tweaks that have been made along the way have created a situation at this point that is working for our students. And one of the things that I think people have to keep in mind is that we are a public school system, and we, our teachers, nor any of our administrators have ever been trained or basically are not virtual teachers. That's not our background, but we have made these concessions and these accommodations for our parents and students who, for whatever reason, did not feel comfortable coming back for in-person learning. And so it's been a learning process for all of us. I feel like we've made the best of that situation, and we've tried to meet the needs of those students in the best way that we can.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that if you had to do this at a larger scale, let's say at the scale of Shelby County schools, do you think it would be possible to have two sets of teachers?
You know, I don't feel comfortable answering that question because obviously I'm not in that situation. It probably could work similarly to what we've had to do. I know it's a larger scale, but my experience as an administrator through the years has been typically when you plan something and you think of all of the aspects of that plan, you pretty much have to do the same planning, whether you're doing it for, 200 students or 2000 students. Your planning process pretty much is the same, and then you just have to replicate that plan more times than not when you're on a larger scale.
Right, right. You have to scale up. Gary, what do you think about that? Because at some point, Shelby County Schools is going to emerge from this and actually had a plan to do virtual and in-person and offer parents the choice between the two. You've been involved in scaling this up with Collierville schools. Is this something that you think is for bigger school systems?
Like Mr. Mayo, I am hesitant to offer an opinion on another school system. We are working very hard to figure out our own situation. And it's difficult. Whenever you scale up doing something that is completely different, there are challenges, of course. And you have to work through those and figure out what works. Listen, I don't fault any school system for whatever path they take, because I do trust that our superintendents in the state of Tennessee really want the very best for their students and for their constituents. So I do trust that whatever decisions another school district makes, that probably is in the best interest of their district. And so I appreciate and respect that. And I also appreciate the challenges that that come at any level. You know, you have different issues that you've got to work out. And when you're at a large scale, there are just that many more challenges and issues that you've got to overcome.
Mm-hmm. Final point before I throw it back to Eric for the next segment on this. Gary, do you think that you're done with rolling with the punches? Do you think this is settling in, or do you think that you're going to have to make more adjustments on this?
Well, one thing that we've learned is that this pandemic is things constantly change. The information, the science, the number of cases. So do I think that we will be required to make changes and adjustments along the way? Absolutely, we will. I wish that we could settle into a great spot where we knew things were going to be relatively stable for a while, but we just don't have that assurance. So we are making the changes that we feel like are necessary to educate our children and do so in as safe a manner as possible. But we are anxious to get students back to school.
Jeff, I guess if you know it's coming, it's not a surprise, but what do you think about that?
Yeah, I would agree with what Gary said. One of the things that's been, I'm a new superintendent this year, so that's had its challenges within itself, but at the same time, it's sort of put everybody on an equal playing field, because we're all dealing with the same thing. You know, our communities are different, so we do have some unique challenges in each of our communities, but overall, we're actually pretty much dealing with the same things, and with the goal of keeping schools open. I have told my administrators from day one that this is against my grain to start school and make changes, and because I don't want it to appear that we don't have a plan and that we're not organized. But I told my administrators from day one, there is no shame in changing the game plan at any point during this school year, because we don't know what's coming at us next. So all that we can do is the very best with the information that we have at the time. And that information, as Gary pointed out, changes constantly. We have seen more stability, I will have to say, since school has opened, with the guidance and the changes that have been thrust upon us. But throughout the summer, it was very difficult to even land on a reopening plan, because we might get changes, sometimes two or three different changes within a day. And so we were constantly having to go back and revisit our reopen plan. So honestly, when school opened, that was a big relief, I know, for me, because, we were at a point where we had done everything we could do, and we're just going to have to see how it works when we put students in the mix with this plan. So are we going to continue to make changes and adjustments if it's in the best interest of students? Certainly, that's what we will do.
Let me, I'll stick with you, Jeff. The out of school activities, sports, but gets a lot of attention, maybe too much attention, some would say, but you've got theater, you've got music, you've got clubs and activities, Model UN at the high school. I mean, just all kinds of activities outside the classroom. How have you managed those activities that are traditionally like sports, but also band and so on, that are in person, close proximity? What are your protocols and what's the approach been?
Yeah, so we have slowly stepped back into allowing some of those clubs and organizations and groups to meet. Obviously practicing the same safeguards, or sometimes even those activities. I know, like with a band and the choral groups and things, those groups of that nature, they have even some more stringent guidelines than just being at school because of the nature of the activity that the students are involved in. So we have not prohibited any group from participating as long as they've been able to practice the social distancing and the protocols that have been laid out by our partners at the health department. We have followed to the best of our ability every guidance that's been provided to us by the health department when allowing any group or any activity to get together. One of the things that we've done in our district too is we have made or required all of our sports groups obviously have had to submit a separate sports plan to address how they will take tickets, how they will sell tickets, how they will manage spectators, how many spectators will be allowed. And basically that's right now probably at about 15% of normal capacity due to the social distancing guidelines that are, you know, at a greater impact than just being at school. The same is true for any other club or organization. We have a core group committee that worked on our reopen plan. So any group that wants to resume with activities outside of school, they have to submit a plan to our core group. Our core group meets, we discuss it, we make recommendations, and then we either approve that plan or we decide to tell the sponsor that, you know, you need to continue doing this virtually if that's possible. Or as I said, we approve the plan and let them move forward with it.
And same question to you, Gary. I mean, you have similar protocols in place like this. I mean, it sounds, exhausting. I mean, necessary. I don't mean it in a bad way, but it just sounds exhausting. But are you going through that same process?
We are. We are under a very similar process. And you're right. You know, there's so much more to school than just the academics. Obviously, that is our primary focus and a huge concern. But there's a lot of social emotional learning that happens at school. And when you can't get students together, then they miss out on some of that. So we're doing what we can to make some of those activities available for our students. But it's difficult under the guidelines, as you would imagine. But we're very similar to what Arlington is doing on those things.
Let me talk a bit about, we talked with Dr. Ray about it. One of his concerns, I think, was, with not opening, that COVID has hit African-Americans so much harder. The Shelby County school system is 90% Black. And there is sometimes, and you know, the media is guilty of this, a perception that, you know, the Shelby County school system is Black and the county school systems or the suburban school systems are white and for rich people. And that's really not true. And I've talked to your predecessors about this before, but maybe I'll stay with you, Gary. Talk about how you all work with people, families and students who have great needs, who maybe have two parent working families or single parent working families, or just really do struggle, maybe even in good times. What sort of support services have you had to put forward for students who don't have the support they want or need at home, Black, white, or other?
Well, and I appreciate the last part you added on that. We have a very diverse enrollment, and really we don't think about our students in terms of their race. We do everything that we can to support our families. For example, internet, you know, with some families being virtual, if they do not have access to the internet, then we are looking at, can we provide assistance? So kind of the support services are the same as what they would be in a normal year. To the extent possible, we try to help all of our families that need that help.
Yeah, and to you, Jeff, similar question. And also, I want to talk to someone from Arlington Schools about how much, I mean, there is tremendous intervention that has to happen by all the school systems in the county, all the school systems in the state. Right now, families and people are under tremendous stress. What are you seeing from your families and students, and particularly those who have less means and less support?
Yeah, I can appreciate that question. And as Gary pointed out, we do have much more diversity in our school districts than people would realize. And with that comes along some challenges that some of our families face. And, you know, oftentimes we don't know what some of those challenges are until we start digging deeper with a family member as a result of a school-related need. We have in place social transition specialists. We have two of those for our district. And those basically, those employees act as social workers. And we are able to do needs assessments when we have a family or a student that we learn it might be dealing with a challenging situation. The first point of contact for our district are those social transition specialists who reach out to the family, and they're able to provide or point them in the direction of any services that they may need, whether that's for, you know, food, for sometimes even housing, or you know whatever the case may be. We have a system in place to offer those support services. Similar to what Dr. Lilly stated with internet, we don't have a lot of students who do not have internet access, but we do have some. And one of our processes that we went through in utilizing our CARES Act money was to make sure we ordered some cellular iPads so that we could place those iPads in the hands of students who may choose to get their education this year, at least for part of this year, 100% virtually. I think by the fact that we offered that as an option also shows our willingness to accommodate our students, because we do have families that weren't comfortable coming back to school, and we tried to be sensitive to that and tried to set up a system where parents could assign or designate a home mentor to help that student while they're at home learning virtually, but also providing the support from the school district at the same time.
Well, we're going to have to end it there. That is all the time we have this week. Remember, you can get past episodes of the show on the WKNO website at WKNO.org, or you can download the full podcast of the show from the Daily Memphian site or wherever you get your podcasts. We'll see you next week.